1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, meaning put them to the test, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Turn back in your Bibles with me to the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse number 28 in Acts 20. The Apostle Paul met with the elders of Ephesus, knowing that he was on a journey that might lead him to the place of imprisonment or death. He met with these elders and said, verse 28 of chapter 20 of Acts, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." And turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. Paul speaking of false religion, he said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." In 2 Peter chapter 2, Satan uses false preachers and teachers, and they can appear as those who are of God, because Satan is a deceiver and his disciples are deceivers. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." He goes on explaining how God treated the angels that sinned, and how God will judge false prophets that sin. And then in verse number 17, he says, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever." These are false teachers without the Spirit. They do not possess the Holy Spirit of God, and therefore they are deceived themselves, and they go about deceiving others as well. In Jude, just before the book of Revelation, you have a little book of Jude, no chapters, it's all one chapter. Verse 3 and 4 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He, 2 Peter and Jude are written to counter false teachers. In Paul's day, these were false apostles who came from the Jewish nation. And then there were those pagan idolaters who had him arrested and beaten and put in prison and tried to deceive the people. But on September the 11th, today, 15 years ago, we were attacked by Islam. Islam is at war with the world. They have declared jihad against everyone who does not believe as they believed. There are a number of false religions who do not worship the true God, who do not know the way of salvation, which is only through Jesus Christ. But Islam is militant, waristic. They are not simply trying to live according to their works and be an example of their teaching. They are trying to force what they believe on the rest of the world. There are more than 1 billion followers of Islam. Islam is the Muslim religion. They follow a false spirit, as John warned, that will take place. Many Muslims are also Moslems, spelled M-O-S-L-E-M, Moslem. Many people confuse those two words, Muslim, spelled M-U-S-I-M, which is a follower of Islam, and Moslems, which are descendants of Abraham, but they are not Jews. Abraham had more than one wife, and he had many children and grandchildren. And these other nations are followers of Abraham and are descendants of Abraham. And so much of the Old Testament they would believe, but their Muslim teaching has led them away from the true teaching of God. Now, unbelievers in America and those who are weak in their religious views, liberals in doctrine and politics, have tried to say, leave the Muslim people alone, welcome them into your communities because all religions are the same. I want to say to you, that's a lie of the devil. All religions are not the same. There's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, I agree that we have religious freedom. A person has the freedom in America to believe whatever they want to believe. But you better be sure who your enemies are. The fact that Islam is a religion does not make it compatible with Christianity. It is not serving the same God. The word Allah in Arabic equals God in English. But the one they worship whose name is Allah is not the same God that we worship. Allah did not have a son named Jesus Christ. And they do not believe in salvation through Christ and Christ alone. For one to convert from one religious view in America to another religious view in America doesn't stir a lot of people other than maybe their immediate family. If I knew a couple of guys in Bible college that were Jewish who had become Christians and their parents, you know, didn't agree with that and forsook them. I knew a couple of fellows who were Roman Catholic who had accepted biblical Christianity, become independent Baptists, and their parents were very angry about it and very disturbed. And they went off to Bible college to train for the ministry, feeling God had given them a call, and their parents were not supportive of what they were doing because they felt they had betrayed their religion of their family. But overall, it doesn't cause a great stir. But for one to convert from Islam to Christianity in a country that is ruled by Islam, it very well may mean their death. It will definitely mean they are disowned from their relatives, disinherited from their family, expulsion from jobs and other people who are of the Islamic faith. It can mean arrest by public officials and even death by the sword, beheading because they have denounced Allah. To convert from Islam, especially in nations that are governed by the Islamic teaching like Iran and Pakistan, it is the ultimate rejection for people to turn from Allah to Christianity. Those who were already Christians before the Shah of Iran was dispelled, Iran had some religious liberty. And there were Christians. Turkey, Iran, some of these nations, it was a small percentage, 1, 2, 3% of people were Christian people. Those people have had to either flee for their lives, or they've been killed, or they have had to succumb to Islam and say they reject Christianity and believe Islam, or they would be killed with the sword. Now, those who are true believers in Christ are in danger from the radicals of the Islamic faith. If they live in those countries, they face beatings, the rape of their women, imprisonment for their faith. Their homes can be taken away from them. Their places of worship will be burned and destroyed. Christian churches in all of those radical Muslim countries have had their buildings taken away from them or destroyed. Families executed quite often will bring others in the community into submission to Islam, which is the goal of the Islamic faith. In this day and time in which we live right now in Syria and Iran and Pakistan and all of these smaller countries that are in this area, in Saudi Arabia and other places, there are Christians who are suffering persecution like Paul suffered in his day as a preacher of the gospel from the Jewish people and from the idol worshipers. He was beaten and put in prison, and he was stoned and left for dead, and God raised him up. And he went through a tremendous trial, yet he remained faithful unto God and continued to preach the gospel, and he is a great example to us. Orthodox Bible-believing Christianity follows truth, and that is in conflict with false doctrine, with error, and with false works, and with those who follow a false religion taught by a false spirit. Today they call themselves ISIS. They would rather be called ISIL because the L stands for the land. They believe Jerusalem is theirs. They want to possess the land. Now that many of them live in America, wherever they plant themselves in a country, as far as they are concerned, conquering that country for Islam is the goal that they desire. And they want to be possessors of every land where Muslims live, institute their Sharia law and their teaching to all people. The Quran is the same, whether it's a suicide bomber who flies a plane into the Twin Towers, or an imam who is their interpreter of the law like a preacher, or if it's just a family that's got a little old shop out in the place and lives in that country, they all read and study from the same Bible that they believe is theirs. The same book, we would call it. It is the Quran. And they believe the Quran is holy, even in the book itself, that they will hold it up on their forehead. They'll place it on the highest shelf in their home. They will kiss the book. They would never do what we do with the Bible. We have a Bible which is a copy of the Word of God. We throw it over in the pew, or, you know, they'd never do anything like that with the Quran because they believe it is holy and acceptable to them. And of course, they also saw by example the Jews who treated the Torah, the law of God that Moses wrote, with that same kind of veneration, with kissing it and putting it on their doorpost, and they would touch it when they go in and out of their house, and the priests would use the phylacteries where they would put the scriptures inside, and it would be a leather strap with a little box around their head or around their wrist, and they treated it in that way. War has been declared upon America from 9/11, a jihad. The fatwa has determined that jihad was declared against America, and bin Laden sent numerous tapes to America declaring this publicly. He was given the esteemed position in the Islamic faith to be a caliph. The caliphate is to rule the nation that they are in. And the caliph is the emperor or ruler. And they have numerous caliphs who rule these countries like a king or a dictator. We saw the radical Ayman in Iran when they took all the American captives and caused all the political upheaval that has thrust us into part of what we're in today. In the past, when one of the ugliest men I've ever seen in my life, he probably can't help that, it was his mom and daddy's fault, I guess, who wore that polka-dotted cowboy hat and wrapped that sash around his head, named Yasser Arafat, when he was ruling the PLO, there were over 1 million of them that wanted the destruction of Israel, to push it into the sea, to take Jerusalem back for the Arab nation and be in total control of Jerusalem. The only people who are left out, who are not supposed to be involved in the caliphate to rule the nation, the jihad to fight at war, are those who are totally disabled or those who are caring for their parents, and therefore it needs all their time to care for their parents. There's about 3 rules that they have that somebody can be exempt from being a warrior. Otherwise, all who are of the Islamic faith are to be warriors for the jihad. Secondly, the Bible teaches us it's vital that we discern the spirits. We may have a spirit influencing us. And God loved us while we were yet sinners and gave His Son to die for us. Islam does not teach this. Islam teaches if you love Allah, then Allah will love you. Our Bible teaches us that God loved us even while we were yet sinners, and Christ died for us that we might be saved. The Quran teaches that Allah has no son. He does not reproduce. The Islamic people have no security in their salvation. They believe they have by works. They must earn it. And they won't know until they die if they've earned it well enough or not. So they have no peace. They have no security. They have no satisfaction. They must continuously work in fear that they could be rejected and sent to hell. I'm so thankful that Christ died on Calvary's cross for my sins, because I could never earn a place with Almighty God, who is absolutely holy and absolutely righteous. It is only through Christ that I am made acceptable unto God, and the same for us all. All is based upon, in the Islamic faith, Allah's will. Anything that happens, they will say, if it is the will of Allah, or this is the will of Allah. Doesn't matter what crisis you go through or what hardship you face, it was the will of Allah, and so they must endure it. Muslims must fast for 30 days each year doing what is called Ramadan. In that, it is the celebration of the coming of the Quran, and they fast in the daylight hours. Before daylight, they can eat. Then they fast during the daylight hours, I guess approximately 12 hours. And then after dark, at night, they can eat again. And this 30 days of fasting includes their normal ritual prayers. 5 times a day, they must get out their prayer rug and get down on their face and recite ritual prayers, just like many Christians recite the Lord's Prayer as a ritual rather than because they are communing with God in faith. They must worship Allah. They must give money to the poor, 2.5% of their income. It is a socialism religion, like we have the social gospel here. There are many churches in the United States of America that get government aid. to have a gymnasium dedicated to have teachers to come in the afternoon and do special projects for children so they can get ahead in their education and that sort of thing, or provide sports for them to try to keep them out of trouble and things like that. And it's funded by the government. And that's a social gospel. And they, have their food closets and all the different things, you know, clothes closets and all that to try to help the people in their community. Motivation may be great, but you can't earn salvation by doing those things. And that's not the primary need that people have. The primary need people have is the gospel, to be saved. And once people are saved, God will bless them and they can learn to take care of themselves. And then they must also make a pilgrimage in their lifetime to Mecca. And that's part of the things that they must do to believe they are earning their salvation. But Jesus willingly laid down His life for us and shed His blood for us. That's not the case with the Islamic religion. Muhammad made raids upon other people and slaughtered them with the sword to gain their money and their possessions and their lands, and to grow the Islamic religion. Christ didn't do that sort of thing. Christ willingly laid down His life so that any man can be saved by faith in Him. Thirdly today, the Quran is about one-third the size of the Bible. It was written in 646 A.D. to about 650 A.D. That's why you don't find anything about it in the Bible, because it was written after the Word of God was completed, and several hundred years later, the Quran was written. The Muslims believe that Allah revealed to Muhammad the Quran, but Muhammad admittedly could not read and write. And so the spirit that met with him and gave him these teachings was interpreted mostly by his wife, who told him what to believe. He admitted he was not sure if this was a spirit of Allah or a spirit of a demon that came to him and told him these things. They have written that it was Gabriel, the angel, who came to him and gave him the Quran. Muslims worship the book itself, much like Orthodox Jews do the Torah. The second period of the writing in the Quran is doctrine. It's longer than the first part, and it's often direct quotes from our Bible, from the Old Testament, which was the Bible of the Jews in that day. And much of their teaching are direct quotes, but quite often the quotes, they must have forgot something from the time they read and the time they wrote it in the Quran, because there are numerous errors in their quotes of what took place. Muslims are taught that even our Bible and the Jewish Bible was given by Allah, but that men corrupted it. And they use the many translations of today to say that man has continued to corrupt the Bible over and over and over again. The greatest corrupter of the Scriptures, Islam teaches, is the Apostle Paul, who God led to write most of the New Testament for us. Bible believers should, according to them, endorse the Quran. If we don't endorse the Quran, it is an insult to the Muslim people. The Quran states that Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's wife. Our Bible teaches us it was Pharaoh's daughter who found Moses in the bulrushes and took him into Pharaoh's home. They believe the Trinity, according to the Quran, Surah 5, 116, states that Christians worship three gods: the Father, Mary, and the Son. You see, to people of Islam who are not educated outside their nation, all Christianity is Roman Catholicism. They believe we are all Roman Catholics, that we have the same teaching and believe the same things that the Roman Catholics believe. Surah 5, 73 through 75, they do blaspheme who say Allah is one of three. Therefore, it is obvious they do not worship the same God that we worship, who is three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They teach that Samaritans built the golden calf and led Israel astray, but the name Samaritans did not even come into being until 722 B.C., and they were several hundred years after Israel had sinned before that name Samaritans came to be published. They teach that Abraham offered Ishmael, and that's what the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem is all about. The rock where they believe Abraham offered Ishmael as a sacrifice to God, and God supplied the lamb as a substitute. They teach that Dome of the Rock covers the rock where that took place. And they teach it was not Isaac who was Jewish, but it was Ishmael who was one of their Muslim ancestors. Jesus was not crucified in their teaching. Judas was crucified. And 3 days later, Jesus appeared, and there was no resurrection. That's how Jesus could appear 3 days later, because he didn't die. And he just, you know, went away while Judas was being crucified in their teaching. The Sunni Muslims have created the Sunnah and the Hadith, additional books of instruction. There are other collections of writings that have followed the Quran to make a whole collection of works taught by their leaders, the Imams, who are the interpreters of the law. They copied the philosophy of the Jews with the Talmud, which the Talmud is the writings of the rabbis, how they interpret the law. And they would take the 600 laws of God, and they had made 2,000 laws out of the 600 laws that God gave to Moses. They had made 2,000 of them by the time Christ had physically come on the scene. And Islam has followed that with their teachings by their leaders. Now, I'm running out of time here, but let me say there are 5 fundamentals of the Islamic faith. Number 1, their creed, the Shahada. There's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger. Every parent will whisper this in the ears of their child when he is born, and they will continue to tell this child that throughout their lifetime. Their prayers, the Salat, 5 times a day, prostrate. But there's more to it than that. Before they pray, they must cleanse themselves. They must wash their hands and their wrists 3 times, rinse their mouth 3 times, cleanse their nostrils and sniff water up it 3 times, wash their face and forearms 3 times, and then take a wet hand and pass it over their head. The feet must be washed 3 times. Now, I apologize for saying this, but it's a part of their belief. If a person passes gas or touches a woman before his 5 times of prayer, then he must go through the cleansing all over again in order to be accepted. Their almsgiving is called the zakat. It is socialism, where they give to help the poor 2.5% of their income. Islam is a false gospel. Galatians chapter 1 says Paul wrote the gospel of Christ, and he said, if anybody teaches any other gospel unto you, even an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. It's exactly what took place. And then Ramadan, which they fast for the 40 days of daylight. And then last of all, the pilgrim or Hajj. Now, there's more to it than just visiting Mecca. Every year when all of them come for their pilgrimage at Mecca, there are thousands that get trampled in the ground, and many who die as a result of accidents and things with all those people in that small space. They must walk 13 miles to the place where Muhammad was to have preached his last sermon and stand from noon until sundown. Then they must go to Mina, the site of the sacrifice of Ishmael, and they throw stones because they teach that Ishmael threw stones at the devil when he was to be offered there. And then they offer an animal sacrifice seeking forgiveness of their sins. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 6, verse 14 through 22, that a believer in Christ is immediately cleansed of all his sin, and sin shall no longer have dominion over him. that we are free from sin because of our faith in Christ. Once we're saved, then for forgiveness of our sin, the requirement of us is not all these things that they do, but to confess our sin to God and seek His forgiveness, and He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Ephesians 2:8-9 makes it very clear, man cannot be saved by works. It's by grace through faith and not of works that we are saved. The name Allah, He's not in the Trinity, He does not have a Son. He's not the vicarious Redeemer and Lamb of God that takes away sin. It was written by the Caner brothers, Emir and Ergun. And they became Christians as young men in America. They turned away from the religion of their father. He was a Sunni Muslim and a leader in their place of worship. Well, a quote from these two brothers says, "It is incumbent upon Christians to examine the nature of Allah in light of the Quran. Surah 112 defines Allah in this manner. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, say, He is God, the only, the one and only, God the eternal, absolute. He begetteth not." There's the key to this expression. He has no son. He does not have the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Nor is He begotten. And there is none like unto Him. And so that's their teaching that exposes the fact that in their so-called Bible, the Quran, they state that Allah is not begotten Himself and that He begat no son. Our God is the Creator, the Sustainer, the Redeemer. He is God and there is none like Him. He's infallible, almighty, eternal, and our Heavenly Father. More than 100 passages in the Quran say that Allah is one God, that there's no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His prophet and messenger. Now here's the problem. If He's not the true God, then He is a false God. And if it was not the Spirit of God that revealed these things to Muhammad, then it was a false spirit that revealed these things to him. The Bible says marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. And he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. The husband is to love his wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But in the Quran, women are unclean and they are to be subservient to the man, and he can beat her until she comes into submission. Quite often the mother-in-laws teach their sons, "You're not beating her enough. She's too high-minded. She needs to be beaten more so she'll be in submission and just walk behind you and say, 'Yes, sir,' and do exactly what you tell her to do." The Muslims ridicule Christianity for all the splits and divisions and versions of the Bible and of denominations. But what they fail to admit is there are many divisions among Islam as well. The Sunni Muslims, the Shiite Muslims hate each other. They just all hate America too. And they bomb one another and kill one another just as much as they do other foreigners within their countries. There's another group called the Sufis that are less radical. And then Sikhism, which is a mixture of Islam and Hinduism. The caliphates, the leader who is a caliph, like bin Laden was declared to be a caliph, a leader of Islam to conquer nations and set up a caliphate to rule the nations. That is what they want to do with Germany now that they're there. And they're being pretty successful at causing great turmoil in that country right now with raping women and causing riots in the street. And you see, Germany disarmed their people long time ago before they brought these people in. You better understand something, my friends. You can agree with me or disagree with me, but you better understand that the liberal crowd ruling in politics that wants to take away the Second Amendment rights of the people of America will take away the First Amendment right after that. And they'll take away the right of religion, the right that there can be no law made against religion. All these things will be taken away if they can just take away the Second Amendment first, and then the people have no way to do anything about it. The Muslims work for their salvation, never knowing if they're going to hell or heaven, or paradise as they call it, except for martyrs. If you're willing to strap on an airplane or a bomb and kill other people, then they teach you have been forgiven of all your sins, you will inherit paradise, you'll have great feasts in a mansion, and you'll have 70 virgins that you can use at your pleasure. If a Christian is martyred, he dies for his faith. And what he earns from God is a crown of righteousness before the Lord. They believe they serve the true God, Allah. They believe our Bible is corrupt. They believe Jesus was just a teacher. But it is amazing, they do believe in the virgin birth, that Jesus was born of Mary. They can't comprehend that that was so that Christ would not have human original sin. They don't believe anybody's born originally with sin. That it is what you do, not how you're born. And what I've said here today maligns Islam as far as they're concerned. They can reject Christ and the Bible and the Trinity of God. They simply believe they're telling the truth. They say the Christian faith overlooks immorality. The truth is, the Western nations do not represent Christianity. There was a time where this nation did, but no longer is that the primary representation of our nation. And sadly, too much immorality is overlooked by the churches of America today. We don't worship the same God. Paul is not a fraud. Both Islam and Christianity have divisions and sects. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it and be prepared to stand up and defend it. No compatibility between Islam and Christianity. And with more and more of them being brought in as refugees into this nation, it's vital that we teach our children what truth is. We teach them not to hate, but they need to know their enemy. And they need to be prepared for what's going to come in the future. Pray for peace in our nation. Pray for Israel. And pray for all who are blind in false religion to come to the truth, to know Christ as Savior. And then, I don't care if they're born in Iran or Pakistan or Saudi Arabia, if they know Christ as their Savior, they're my brother in Christ. Let's stand together. Sorry for the time. Father, we thank you and we love you. We offer you our praise and thanks. And we pray that you'll deal with our hearts now by your Spirit, the true Holy Spirit of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.